A vexing week for a company widely considered an engine of the internet. Cisco Systems announced it will cut about 8,500 jobs because of the slowdown in technology. Now, only a year ago, Cisco was vying with General Electric and Microsoft for the top spot in market value. It was worth about $500 billion. But today, with the crash of dot-coms, which purchased systems from Cisco, the company shares have fallen 80%. Cisco has lost $400 billion in market value over the past year. Our friend from the world of business, Joe Nocera, executive editor of Fortune magazine, joins us from New York. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Now, unlike a company like Amazon, Cisco made stuff, hard stuff for the internet, and it was making a profit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, they still will make a profit this quarter. They're just not going to make the kind of profit that everybody, including themselves, I might add, thought they were going to make. Mm-hmm. The old saw was, you know, the people who would get rich on the internet are the same kind of people who got rich during the gold rush, the ones who make the picks and shovels. And Cisco certainly made lots and lots of picks and shovels in the form of something called routers and switchers, which basically manage all the data that rides around on the internet and gets data from place to place. It was considered pretty much a foolproof system for making money. And for many years, Cisco was the fastest growing large company in America. And as a result of that stature, it became perhaps the most beloved stock in America as it just kept going up and up and up. And Americans who didn't know a router from a switch from a whole lot of other things were buying it.
And does the devaluation of the stock suggest that what we were referring to as the dot bombs and that sort of thing has grown more, the effect of that, of those failures has grown more widespread in the economy?
Oh, there's no question about that, Scott. In Cisco's case, you have a situation where, you know, Cisco was not only selling the equipment to the dot coms, it was actually lending them money to buy the equipment. So when these companies went bust, two things happened. First is, Cisco equipment that's only a few months old is back on the market for 20 cents on the dollar. So Cisco is in a position of competing with its own equipment, which is much less. Mm-hmm. And second of all, those loans that they've made are suddenly worthless. And as the dot-com started to fold and then the telecom companies started to have trouble, this whole method, which was fueling growth, starts to collapse in on itself. And then you have, you know, what used to be an explosion becomes an implosion.
Is part of the problem that companies are now known by their stock and not known by their products, but for being a company?
There's more than a little truth to that, Scott, in the sense that the typical American who was buying the stock were buying it not because they really knew very much about Cisco and what it did, but because it had become, quote unquote, a hot stock that was growing at 30, 40, 50, 60% a year. And it just felt like if you grabbed onto it, you could go for one hell of a ride. And you did before it finally hit this wall. Let me say a couple of other things, though. Number one, its CEO, John Chambers, has really become one of the sort of modern figures of the internet era. And people do know who he is. And they really did have a sense, which is now turning out to be somewhat unjustified, that he walked on water. And the dirty little secret about Cisco, which is now coming out, is that he made some mistakes, and now the company and he and everybody is suffering as a result of that.
What kind of mistakes? Anything that we could understand?
Well, I think what this proves is how hard it is when you're in a bubble to kind of keep your brain outside the bubble. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things about Chambers is he came from a company called Wang, which is a defunct computer company in Boston. And one of the things he always said was, Wang made all these mistakes that are so obvious in retrospect that we never want to make those kinds of mistakes again. And for years, he did run Cisco, I wouldn't say cautiously exactly, but with a mind on the mistakes that Wang had made and with a thought that, you know, we're not going to do that again. And what happened in the tail end of the bubble is that Cisco became over-exuberant and began, you know, ramping up inventory with the expectation that their insane growth, 70, 80%, would never stop. Mm-hmm. And there were warning signs out there, drops in sales, dot-com blow-ups, and he and the rest of his management team ignored them. And so instead of being able to put on the brakes and stop the inventory buildup and stop making these foolish loans, they kept accelerating. And so when you do that, when you finally hit the wall, boy, you really hit it. There's no soft landing here at all.
So is there a chance that the company, bereft of what a great philosopher once called irrational exuberance, will be able to piece itself together in a way that's more plausible now?
You never know. I mean, you know, the great question about Cisco right now is is it going to turn into another Lucent, which was another high flyer that has turned out to be basically hopeless, mm-hmm. or is it going to be an Intel, which is the kind of company that every once in a while hits the wall, rejiggers its business, figures out some new path, and then starts accelerating its growth again. You know, what Cisco is basically telling the world is, we've hit the wall. Trust us. We're going to figure out a way out of this. We're going to take all our write-downs. We're going to take all our pain right now, and we're going to rev our growth up again. What troubles me is that they're not saying we're going to grow at a 10 or 15% clip. They're actually being quoted in the papers that saying we're going to grow again at 30 to 50%. Mm. Well, that seems to me, on the face of it, to be pretty unrealistic. I think we're about to head into an era where growth for all companies is going to slow down. And I would feel much more sanguine about Cisco if they were saying, you know, we will grow again, but not the way we used to. We're just too big for that now. And what's troubling is that they're not saying that.
Joe, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Joe Nocera, executive editor of Fortune Magazine, speaking with us from New York.